So I actually gave this talk a few months ago to the grad group, and it turned into a really big, wonderful discussion. So at any point in time, if you guys have any comments, questions, or just want to give like your feedback on anything that I'm saying, or even if you want to argue with me, by all means, go ahead. Yeah, in a civil way, not like last week. Just kidding. So the topic I want to talk about today is anxiety. I think it's something that a lot of us have kind of dealt with in different, obviously, shapes and forms. So just before I start, I do want to start off by saying that this presentation is kind of based on the premise that human beings are tripart in nature, so we're mind, body, and spirit. And actually, I picked out that verse, Nehemiah 2:2. So it says, "Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of the heart." And the reason that I picked that verse is because I think that verse kind of highlights a clear distinction between illness and between sadness of the heart. And in the Bible, right, the term heart is often refers to intangible parts of our being. So my presentation is really going to be based on that, kind of separating a physical illness from something that is more spiritual or of the mind. Make sense so far? Yeah? Okay, good. All right. So I actually had, last year when I started my master's, I actually started a master's in theology and psychology. So half of this is based on those studies, and the other half is biblically founded. So bear with me as I go through the kind of textbook stuff first. So what is anxiety? So anxiety disorders are marked by distressing, persistent anxiety or dysfunctional anxiety-reducing behaviors. So essentially, when we have a lot of thoughts that we're unable to control, that leave us kind of tense, feeling uneasy, and we're just unable to control them. That's kind of what anxiety is described as. So essentially, it's when we're unable to switch off intrusive thoughts and perceive a loss of control and a sense of helplessness. There's different symptoms to anxiety. Like I mentioned, there's different levels to it. So we can have heart palpitations, dizziness, sweating, chest pains, and derealization. So derealization is kind of an extreme symptom of anxiety, but essentially it's kind of when you feel like you're in a dream, just your perception of reality gets really altered. So there's three common types of anxiety disorders. So there's generalized anxiety disorders, also known as GAD, panic disorders, and phobias. All right, so generalized anxiety disorders is probably the one that you guys have most likely heard of. So essentially, it's in which a person is unexplainably and continually tense and uneasy. So I'm actually going to read a short testimony of somebody by the name of Tom. I don't know Tom, but he's in my textbook. So there I go. So for the past 2 years, Tom, a 27-year-old electrician, has been bothered by dizziness, sweating palms, heart palpitations, and ringing in his ears. He feels on edge and sometimes finds himself shaking. With reasonable success, he hides his symptoms from his family and coworkers, but he allows himself few other social contacts, and occasionally he has to leave work. His family doctor and neurologist can find no physical problem. So again, I'm kind of highlighting that last sentence because I really want to emphasize the no physical problem. So far, so good? No questions? No? Okay. Panic disorders, again, it's pretty self-explanatory. It's when a person experiences panic attacks. So those are minute-long episodes of intense fear and dread. The symptoms are pretty similar to generalized anxiety disorders, but essentially it's irregular heartbeat, chest pains, shortness of breath, choking, trembling, dizziness. So another little testimony that was in my book. One woman recalled suddenly feeling hot and as though I couldn't breathe. My heart was racing and I started to sweat and tremble. I was sure I was going to faint. Then my fingers started to feel numb and tingly and things seemed unreal. It was so bad that I wondered if I was dying. So again, although this is not necessarily a physical illness, which I'll get to much later on, the symptoms are very, very, very real and very physical. So the last one is phobias, and again, that's pretty simple. We've probably seen a bit of that in documentaries and stuff, and that's when a person is intensely and irrationally afraid of a specific object, activity, or situation. All right, so what are the causes of anxiety from a kind of psychological perspective? So there's three things, right? There's conditioning, which is also known as learned behavior. So if you were kind of raised in an environment where your parents were really strict, kind of didn't allow you to do much, and kind of presented the world to you as being something very dangerous and don't do this, don't do that, then you're likely going to be an adult that grows up that's more weary of your, you know, your surroundings and the people that are around you. Cognition is our thoughts, our memories, our interpretations, and our expectations. So this really focuses on our past experiences and how they shape and influence our interpretations and reactions. So for example, people that go through PTSD, that's definitely something that has to do with cognition. And the last one is biology. So I actually didn't know this till I studied it, and I found it really interesting. But some researchers have linked anxiety to genetics. So if you pair a traumatic event with a sensitive, high-strung temperament, the result may turn into anxiety disorders. So although the causes of anxiety are situational, meaning, you know, different things kind of trigger different people, one thing is agreed upon, that anxiety is a disorder of the mind. So that actually leads me to my next question. What's the difference between the brain and the mind? Anyone? Dr. Samir? Too easy. Anybody just want to take a guess? You guys are smart. I heard you debate last week, so. Anything? Really? Nothing? No one? Go ahead. Yeah, that's actually very on the dot. So the difference between the mind and the brain is that the mind is not tangible. So it's the element of a person that enables them to be aware of the world, so their experiences, to think, to feel. It's the faculty of consciousness and thought. Whereas the brain is the largest organ in the human body. It's made up of more than 100 billion nerves that communicate in trillions of connections called synapses. So I guess the difference is it being tangible, and by tangible, I mean perceptible by touch. So if we kind of get in a more spiritual light, when we talk about, you know, what is the mind? So I kind of took this verse, I highlighted this verse because essentially in this verse, we see God referring to human beings as tripart in nature, right? So may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So very often in the Bible, there are several references to human beings being tripart in nature, and it really is an important distinction, especially when we address things like depression or anxiety. So the body, I mean, that's the entire physical structure of a human being. The soul is the mind, like we said. It includes the conscience, the will, and the emotions. And the spirit is the aspect of humanity that's tied in with God. And I do want to highlight that the soul and the spirit are linked together. All right, so kind of before I get into this chapter, I just really do, sorry, not chapter, slide, got ahead of myself there. But before I get there, I just want to say that different people kind of go through different walks of life. So I don't want to say that the remedy for anxiety is just, hey, read your Bible and pray, because that's completely inaccurate. For somebody who has kind of maybe been through something traumatic, different approaches will be beneficial. Some people require hands-on therapy. But for the people that kind of have that inexplicable, you know, tenseness and, you know, happen to be Christians, we do believe kind of in a third dimension, so to speak, and that's kind of what I want to really touch upon in these next slides. So what are the spiritual causes of anxiety? So we've discussed different causes of anxiety, learned behavior, genetics, cognition, but what about the spiritual causes? So I've personally found that kind of going through Bible verses and just dissecting them, I actually found it to be very, very helpful for me when I was kind of going through moments that were a little more anxious. Just because when we read a Bible verse, we usually just kind of take it for granted, like as in, okay, this is literally what it means. But the great thing about God's word is that it's alive. So there's always different, how can I explain this? Kind of when we dissect the verse, I guess people can get different things out of it. So this one I actually really liked. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So one of the biggest causes of just anxiety is we mentioned that it has to do with your thoughts, right? And in the Bible, there's many references to taking your thoughts captive and bringing them under God's obedience. So the battlefield really is the mind of the believer. And this verse in particular highlights the way in which the devil, and I don't want to over-spiritualize, so at any point, if you guys have any questions, by all means, interrupt me. But just the way in which the devil kind of just seeks to attack the Christian. So I highlighted a few key words in this verse and kind of broke it down. So I really want to just focus on the word alert, sober mind, enemy, prowls, and line. I'm just kind of going to go through these quickly. But when I go through verses and I kind of break them down, what I do is I'll define a few key words and then I'll just write, how does it apply to me in my personal life? And it always kind of reveals something quite exceptional, I guess. So in this verse, when the Lord says, you know, be alert, essentially what he's saying is as a believer, you need to be vigilant, right? We kind of live in a world that's pretty fast-paced, and it's easy to absorb all sorts of different things on social media, when we go watch movies, the music that we listen to, and so forth. So how does this apply to me? I think we all have different, you know, things that we could probably think of. In my case, I kind of put myself a little note. I said, be selective with who you associate with, be selective with the places you choose to go out to. I also wrote to learn from your negative experiences and nurture the spirit of discernment. I'd love to hear what you guys have to, you know, have to say in terms of being alert. Is there anything that you guys can think of just in your day-to-day life that's just stuff that you can kind of be more weary of? Or Dr. Samir has nothing to be afraid of. No? Okay, I'll just move on then. I'm going to open it up for discussion soon, so please have questions. The next one is sober mind. Yeah. Do you want me to go back? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, in my case, that's what it was. Yeah. In my case, yeah, that's just me. So my kind of, so in purple, and how does this apply to me? So I actually really take verses and I break them down. I'm going to have a little, how does this apply to me thing. So for me, what it was in terms of being alert, so, and I'm talking about like my younger days, I think for me it was kind of just not being naive. And I think oftentimes I definitely, you know, just kind of mingled maybe with the wrong people. So for me, when I kind of read that verse, being alert, because the definition, right, is quick to notice any unusual or potentially dangerous or difficult circumstances, being vigilant. So in my case, I can say I definitely wasn't vigilant, but it's definitely a subjective thing.
So it's selective, so that you don't get swayed away.
Correct, yeah. But I think it's like, you know, different things. Like I know for certain people, it can be, you know, it could just be something like, you know, you listen to a song that, you know, just kind of puts you in a certain dark headspace, or you know, you watch a movie that, I don't know, just isn't the best for you. So it's just kind of just those little things, because there's so many verses in the Bible that, you know, tell us as believers to guard our minds, and that's a big part of this one facet of anxiety or this one facet of depression. So yeah, that's just the way I took it, but that's very subjective, like just for different people. So the next one is being of sober mind. That's another key word I highlighted. So that's essentially being reliable, responsible, exercising self-control, having a sound mind. I think sober-minded can also be taken literally in the sense that, you know, just not altering our mind with excessive drugs or alcohol, or actually any, not excessive, I apologize. So another little note that I wrote for myself, actually one thing that really came to mind in terms of the keyword of sober mind is there's a verse in the Bible that says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So I think it's really important just to be careful with what we let our minds kind of absorb. and a good point of reference, because that's one question that came about last time we had this discussion, is like, well, how do you know if something is good, or how do you know, you know, what I should let my mind kind of be exposed to or not? And the answer is just, from a Christian perspective, it's, you know, does this align with God's word? And if the answer is no, then maybe it's not the best route to take. I'll just kind of go through these fairly quickly. Enemy, that's pretty obvious, right? It's a person who feels hatred for you, fosters harmful designs against or engages in antagonistic activities against one another. Now, the important thing to note, right, is in the Bible when we talk about enemies, is it's nothing like literal, it's nothing physical. We talk about flesh and blood. We don't talk about flesh and blood. So the verse is, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness. And enemies are always going to attack people when they're in a vulnerable or weak state, right? We see that everywhere. We see that even in politics. If they want to, you know, attack a different country, they're going to wait to attack them unexpectedly. And it's the same way it works on a spiritual level. When we're most vulnerable, that's when the enemy will attack. No, go ahead. Yeah. Flesh and blood. Well, I think, so even though it's not a real person, right? Like, so the Bible verse that I read just saying that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against forces of evil, it's not because we don't see it that it's not real. And it's actually funny that you bring that up, because I find many of my atheist friends or colleagues, even though they don't believe in God, you know, they'll still go see psychics and mediums. So in a way, they kind of acknowledge that there's a spiritual realm, right? So although we don't see the devil per se, or we're not like, oh, like we don't see it, right? We're just human beings, and we see things through a finite perspective. There is a way of tackling those things, you know, and that's the reason kind of we take communion, we do confession, we do a lot of things just to kind of guard our hearts and our minds as believers, and just not make ourselves as vulnerable. But yeah, I kind of wanted to take textbook definitions and just kind of apply them on a spiritual level. Ooh, my bad. So devil, that's the chief evil spirit, so Satan, and he's often referred to as the enemy. And kind of the notes that I wrote here is just, like I just mentioned, right, that the spiritual realm is very real. And on earth, you know, evil is rampant. So how do we guard ourselves against the devil? And just all the sacraments that we partake in, confession, communion, prayer, those are all things that definitely help. Putting on the whole armor of God, which is also a verse that's in the Bible, is definitely something that's very important to do. So this word, actually, I highlighted it for an important reason, because it's something that I wasn't aware of too much. So prowls around, it means moves around restlessly and stealthily, especially in search of prey. So they move around quietly in a place trying not to be seen or heard. So this verse kind of just says how the devil operates and how he works. He's continuously, he doesn't take a break, he doesn't take a nap. Like, he's always, always ready to attack the mind of the believer. And lion, so fun fact about lions that I didn't know is they attack sick, young, or straggling animals. They choose victims who are alone or not alert. And, you know, if we think of the fall, or when Eve was tempted, she was tempted when she was in a vulnerable state, so she was alone, so she was more susceptible to temptation. So that is the verse broken down. And I actually thought that the verse broken down made a lot of sense, just tackling that one aspect of anxiety. So on a spiritual level, it just really highlights the way in which, as human beings, we are vulnerable, and there are certain expectations of us. A lot of it is just walking in obedience, which does kind of give us that extra layer of protection and just that closeness to God that we can use in times of need when we're anxious and or depressed. I often tie the two together because I think they're somewhat hand in hand in certain cases. And so not only does this verse kind of highlight the importance and the need to just be close and to walk in communion, but it also highlights just a bit of how the devil operates. And I know it's not something that we talk about a lot in church, but I do think it's something that's important because spiritual warfare is a huge part of Christianity, and it's not one that's often talked about in the church. Everything clear so far? Yeah. So I was actually thinking, so what does God say about the mind of the believer? I thought it would be just a fun thing if we can, well, fun, big word, but interesting, if we can just maybe go around, each person reads a verse, and I would love for you to just tell me what you think God is trying to say about the mind of the believer in that particular verse. So does anybody want to start us off? Dr. Samir? So what do you think that means in terms of, like, what is God saying about the mind of the believer in this particular verse? So, yeah, that's absolutely on point. The first portion of that verse where it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, and it's also said kind of differently in the Bible where it says, be in the world, not of the world, right? So on several occasions we're told, even though you're going to be, you know, on this planet, you need to think differently, you need to operate differently. In terms of anxiety, and this is really something that I want to stress and emphasize for anybody going through it here, it's not something simple as in a prayer is going to make it go away or, you know, just come to church every Sunday and your feeling of anxiety or feeling sick, depending on the level of anxiety you have, is going to disappear. It's not that. Like I said, there's so many different reasons why people feel anxious, some of it being medical, unfortunately. However, the spiritual side of anxiety is also very real, and these verses kind of show us how we can tackle it, right? And the reality of the situation is that anxiety is not something that is, you know, solely, although there are physical symptoms, it's not something that can be, you know, directly linked to a physical ailment. So when it tells us just, you know, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the renewing of your mind is done through the sacraments that we've briefly touched upon. And I think, like you said, just when God, was that a question? Yeah, actually on that note, like when you were saying that we have to renew the mind every day, I think for a lot of people who have ever been through anxiety or depression, it's not something that's a one-time kind of cure-all situation. It's something that unfortunately reoccurs. However, as it reoccurs, I think people gain a different kind of strength and just utilize different tools to tackle the things of the mind. Does anybody want to read the second verse? Amir? So what do you think that means? How do you think we do that?
So the tools you said about we have condition, of course, repentance and confession, but it's not forgiveness.
Yeah.
Renew our mind, get back our mind.
Yeah.
It's easier than to say we have to achieve our mind. No, we achieve and we got our mind.
Yeah.
God gave us, granted us all this mind of Christ. What we need to do to get back sometimes the sin,
Does anybody want to read the third verse? Actually, you know what? The third verse we did touch upon, but if somebody just wants to read through it and just explain what they think it means in terms of the mind. I know it's like a kind of weird topic if you haven't been through it, but like by all means, just, you know, we're here to discuss. So if you guys have anything, any questions, if it's something that's completely foreign to you, you're extremely lucky. That's awesome that you don't have to deal with that. But just anything that comes to mind, anything you want to just discuss, don't be shy, don't be afraid to just discuss. Like, now's the time. I know it's not something that's often discussed in church, but if there's anything, just, yeah. So anybody want to read the third verse? So what do you think that means? Is that something that you guys think is achievable, like, or easily achievable? Just filling your mind with good things? Like, I find that, oh, go ahead. I agree. Like, I think it's something that does require a lot of practice. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I know for me, I kind of have maybe a little bit of road rage. Like, when I'm driving, I get annoyed so easily. And I can really just come out of church and just, for those of you who don't know, I actually lead worship at Woodvale, which is the church right across the street. And I'll finish a wonderful service, and there's loud worship, and it's, you know, yay, everything is good. And I hit the road, and there's just, oh my gosh, everything that I learned like 15 minutes ago evaporates, you know? And so I think it does take that discipline, but then how do we condition our minds to do that? How do you think of, like, lovely things all the time? Is that a possibility? Is that once again done through prayer? Is that just something that you have to release? Is there anything kind of practical that maybe you guys do? I'd be interested in kind of hearing if anybody has ever, what's a little bit of a personal question, so if you're uncomfortable answering, that's fine, but if anybody has struggled 20 degree with anxiety and how you guys have managed to cope with it on a spiritual level. Anybody has ever been in that situation or nervousness or stress or, no, everybody's life is perfect, right? Yeah. I think everybody, I don't want to say fights it differently, but I think people use different tools. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like anxiety being kind of how I defined it in the first slide, just those intrusive thoughts that somebody can't necessarily ward off easily. So I do like that distinction between feeling anxious and anxiety. That's an interesting. No, go ahead, yeah. Do you want the mic?
No.
Okay.
I get really stressed out at work. Very stressed out. And sometimes it just sucks for me, like, 5 to 7 days, -30. And so the worst thing that happens to me here at my home, and when I was a kid growing up, I was told that my father chose his dad by prayer. It's their prayer. Something in
And I actually, so like, I definitely agree with what both of you said. And I actually almost want to push it a notch by saying that there really is something very powerful about calling on God's name, right? Like, there's so many verses in the Bible that just talk about power of the name, like Jesus, right? Maybe this is my Pentecostal side coming through, but there really is something that when we talk about the Word of God being alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword, when you speak those things out loud, or you pray out loud, you know, that kind of goes, that goes in the spiritual realm and doesn't come back empty, especially for believers. So there definitely is a very, very unique and very real element to just, you know, saying that stuff out loud. I remember for me, I have kind of certain key verses that I'll say out loud and I'll repeat. One of them being Philippians 4:6, which we're all like going to touch upon. But it's crazy how I remember at one point I was kind of going through a stressful period, and that's a verse that I just kept saying in loop until my like heart rate actually literally went down, which was incredible, right? Because a lot of people in this day and age will opt for different alternatives to lower their heart rate. I think for, and that's very true, but I think for some people who are going through anxiety or kind of anxious periods of times, sometimes that can kind of alter your, I don't want to say alter your reality, but it can cloud your vision of things, right? To a point where you're like, okay, well, what is pure? What is noble? Is it wrong that I'm thinking this? Is it wrong? And I think it just kind of goes back to just aligning your thoughts with, you know, with what's in God's word. So I'll read the next verse, Ephesians 4:23, to made new in the attitude of your minds. I find a lot of the Bible verses are very poetic, obviously, and so sometimes they're kind of difficult to just really understand or grasp. So does anybody want to take a jab at this one, what it means? I wish you guys had name tags. I would like just pick on you. Anybody want to? You want to try? Yeah. Thank you.
I think it's talking about two things. It's attitude being one. And so that you have a change of perception with your mind. And the other thing is the mind is compatible, so you can change it to whatever you want it to change it to. So in this case, even though you're going through a rough period where that might be more negative,
actually, on that note, there is a really great Christian neuropsychologist. Actually, she's a neuroscientist, my bad. Her name is Dr. Caroline Leaf. And she actually said that so when you kind of meditate on the word and stuff, you can actually recreate passageways in your brain, which I found amazing. So I guess it just goes to show that, I don't know who said it, but that the brain and the passageways are malleable, which is great. So I'm actually curious to know, do you guys think that something like anxiety or maybe even, I don't really want to talk about depression too much because it's something that's a little different, but do you guys think that it's something that in certain cases can kind of be, how can I explain it? Something that just kind of can be, I don't want to use the word treated because I don't think it's an actual illness, but do you guys think that it's something that you know, can be kind of warded off just spiritually? Or do you guys think it always requires an additional step? By the way, I want to take back something I said. I just said that I don't think it's an illness. I'm not sure about that one, so please, nobody. I know it's recorded somewhere, so recording, yeah. Delete that part. So, okay, I kind of actually have a question. Dr. Simi, I think I might have asked you this, but so I heard something, I'm not sure if this is accurate, but is there a way of calculating in a tangible way a chemical imbalance? And has that ever been linked to anxiety? Like serotonin levels, for example, is that... Absolutely. Of course. Yeah. Okay.
So not having depression and anxiety is the same
No, of course, and that's absolutely not what I'm saying, so I don't want anybody to think that's what I was saying. No, I completely agree. I think just the point that I wanted to highlight, and it was really just kind of looking at the spiritual aspect of certain cases of anxiety, but just kind of the question that was asked is just, you know, is it something that medication or treatment, is it just something that numbs the senses? Is it just kind of like a surface or a band-aid thing, or is it something that heals? And I'm more inclined to just think that just maybe the more spiritual aspect of things is just something that would more wholesomely heal as opposed to numb. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is,
and I think it's definitely something that we should all, I don't know, food for thought, just something to meditate on, because that's definitely interesting. I have like another page, so I might. Anybody want to do the last words? So for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. What is a sound mind? Yeah, good point. So I really just kind of, you know, I really wanted to just highlight these verses, and I do have another page of verses, which I don't think we're going to go through, because I don't know what time it is, but I just really just want to highlight, you know, what God says about the mind of the believer. So for people who are going through anxious states or just, you know, unhappy, just phases of their life, there are promises, and Amir, you mentioned this, kind of we have the mind of Christ, so it's almost as though we have the victory, but we just need to tap into it, and there's different ways of tapping into it. And one of them is just praying earnestly and just really kind of focusing on these verses. So the first one right here, 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it says, we demolish arguments and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. It's a verse that's very, very full, and there's a lot in it. But it's definitely something that I would encourage you guys to just maybe meditate on when you go home and just take that and think about it and what it means, because as believers, a lot of our answers are in here, and I think it's just something important that we should tap into. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can take root. And I think that just kind of confirms, like, there's, you know, several verses that just say that, you know, the life of the believer is not necessarily easy, and it's never going to be just, you know, just a breeze and smooth sailing. So I think it just takes repetition and just continuous just closeness to God. So I'm actually going to end with this very, I really like this quote. So it says, whatever captures your idle thoughts, what fears seep into your spare moments, don't concede, fight with the gospel. So, yeah. actually a bored mind, quote unquote, is definitely a big battleground for thoughts that shouldn't be there. So that's pretty much my presentation. I hope it made sense. If you guys have any questions, let me know. Yeah. So spiritually, or just like in general? So in general, I think many things can cause anxiety. Many. So just like three things that I kind of touched upon at the beginning. So one of them can actually just be your genetics, right? It can just be if somebody's temperament is something that's genetic. So if you're somebody that's just more sensitive, that's just more sensitive in nature. And you actually end up going through something that can trigger anxiety in the mind. It could be learned behavior, so it could be that you were raised in an environment that's just so particular, you know, just maybe having very strict parents that just kind of, you know, presented the world to you as being a big dangerous playground. So there's many reasons. There's also kind of your memories and just something like PTSD, for example. I have a good friend of mine who's in the military, and that's definitely something he struggles with, and he's actually fairly young. He's in his 20s. So I think on a non-spiritual side, there's so many reasons. One of them, like, I have a good friend of mine who actually, were you here last week for the marijuana debate by any chance? Yeah? So, drugs can be one of them. You know, it could be like, so in a non-spiritual sense, it really depends on who you are as a person. But there's several factors that can contribute just to a change in your mind, a change in your mindset. In terms of spiritually, I think we don't talk enough about spiritual warfare. I really don't. I think it's something that just kind of goes, we kind of just sweep it under the rug at church, and I really don't think we should. I think it's something that should be addressed, because I know for me personally, the first time I went through, the first time I ever had a panic attack, and thankfully it was the last time, was in 2015, and that was something I never, ever forgot, and it happened, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, it was very, very scary, right? Because for 3 hours, or almost 3 hours, it was more like having a kind of anxious episode, but my heart was palpitating, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't get it, what is this? But at that time, I was always raised in a Christian home, but at that time, I kind of strayed away from my faith, right? And kind of going through that, my eyes were open to the reality of just God, you know? It, ironically, it did bring me close to God. It did bring me kind of back into my faith. But I think spiritually, if we lead a certain lifestyle, or if we kind of just cave into sin, as kind of cliche as it sounds, it does separate us from God, and it does make us more susceptible to poor decisions and just to attacks. But if it is something that interests you spiritually, I definitely encourage you to read up on with good sources, but on spiritual warfare, because yeah, that's something that's very real. Like, I never knew about it, as a believer. I always actually thought people that, like, you know, when something would happen and people would do the cross, I was like, you know, it's a little excessive, it's a little weird. But now that I'm actually like, I get it, you know, my eyes are, I was awakened, I guess, at that time, and I get what that means to do the cross over yourself, and I get what it means to repeat prayers and to say things out loud, because those things don't go in vain. And I don't know if anybody's ever watched The Secret, it's kind of a little bit of a tacky documentary that documentary essentially just says, you know, positive thinking and speaking positive things out loud are gonna, you know, make positive things happen. A lot of people buy into that philosophy, which is great, but I actually think from a believer's perspective, like, it's absolutely on point. I think if you kind of speak truth and kind of ward off any, you know, thoughts that aren't right, just with verses and stuff like that, you will definitely see a difference, even if it's not instantaneous. But yeah, I would just, maybe for spiritual, I would just say maybe like sin, or just leaving a lifestyle that's not necessarily with God. But again, right, you do have people that are here every Sunday that everything is going well, but anxiety is something that they deal with. And it's not because they're a bad person. It's not because they're not Christian. It's not because they're unwell. But I definitely, you know, can stand firmly and say that the kind of techniques that we've talked about or what the Bible says about the mind is sufficient in helping them kind of overcome or just, you know, reaching a state of wellness. Did that answer your question? I kind of rambled. Okay. Anything else? I don't, personally. I don't. But I know a lot of people would say that it probably does. So it depends how you define faith, right? So actually, I'll ask you, how do you define faith? Did you want to answer that? Yeah, for sure. I'll just answer it before my thought goes away, but I think, you know how they talk about, so faith, I think a lot of people, some people have like a lot of faith, and then the Bible, right, it talks about how some people, all you need is the faith of a mustard seed, right? And I know in my case in particular, when I was just kind of just, you know, dipping my foot back in the world of faith, a lot of the stuff I read was like, okay, it makes sense, but I'm gonna trust, you know, but I was kind of doing it. I don't think there's anything wrong in doubting. I don't. As a Christian, I don't. I think Thomas doubted, and I know. But I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. So I don't know that I'm willing to 100% say that all sorts of anxieties as a lack of faith. But I definitely think there could be more faith, I guess, if that kind of answers without contradicting my response. Yeah, for sure. It's just food for thought, so you guys can...
Thank you.
it's interesting for sure. I definitely, like, I 100% think so. Like, definitely. I think also there's many references in scripture that just says that, you know, what God starts in someone, they'll bring to completion, and just talks about fulfilling a purpose and just how God will always aim at, you know, any situation that we kind of go through, there's always the greater good, right? Which is something that is often brought forth. But if you look at the Saul to Paul, like, conversion story, that's definitely one that highlights the way in which a really bad situation was kind of turned into something very positive. So, yeah. Anybody else? Good. Yeah, but I think anything that actually condemns you as a person, anything that makes you feel guilty, you know where the source of that stems from. But, yeah. I think I saw him on Oprah. That's good. Thanks for the visual. So anyways, yeah, I hope you guys, I don't know, maybe it stimulated some thoughts. Maybe it'll just get you to think a little more about just anything that you're walking through. Maybe this bored you to death, and I apologize for that. But thank you for coming. And Dr. Samir, get off your phone. All right, thank you guys. Four kids? That answers your question. It can be used for the greater good. Yeah.